Amen. Thank you, Joshua and Elizabeth. There is no one like God, our God, Jehovah God. Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate our young people. I really do. I appreciate them sharing from their heart today and worshiping God. That's what it's all about, isn't it? It's worshiping God. Well, happy Thanksgiving in advance. I know some of you will be pigging out this week, as I will, so I'm going to preach on gluttony this morning, all right? I wouldn't dare touch that. I'd be the first one down the aisle, all right? But I want you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and I want to just say this about Thanksgiving. Please come tonight at 6 o'clock. We're having a community Thanksgiving service, and we have the privilege here at Lindsay Lane to host it. You will be blessed tonight. Well, you'll be blessed. So you come. Churches all over our community are going to be here tonight, and we get to host that. So I want to encourage you to be back at 6 o'clock as we celebrate Thanksgiving. And that's what Thanksgiving is all about. It's about giving our thanks. We're thankful, and we give our thanks. So everybody's grateful. Got Thanksgiving meals coming up. Football. Can I get a witness? All right. I know the ladies are so excited about all the games coming on this week. So we got a lot of football coming up, got a lot of food coming up, and everybody's excited except the turkeys. Watch this.
Keep waiting.
Amen. Just to get you in the mood for Thanksgiving, all right? Chick-fil-A has their cows, and we got our turkeys, all right? I'm glad you're here this morning. Thank you for coming, and I pray you will have a great Thanksgiving holiday as you celebrate that. I want to continue from last week's message. If you're here, a member of Lindsay Lane, you know that every November I try to do a message on stewardship just to remind us that we are to be good stewards. And we talked about last week that we're to be good managers. Stewardship's good managers. So until everyone catches on, I'm going to continue to preach on it, all right? And so a lot of you have. One did this last week, and here's what he wrote to me. I want to share this email. I got this email from one of our members. Here's what he said. Your sermon was right on last Sunday. Tithing and giving is important to me. I just love to see the way God works on my behalf when I am obedient in my tithe and in my offerings. My tithe is pretty much set, but my offerings are entirely another matter. When an opportunity comes for me to invest, I just want to give God what I should give. Immediately, the figure comes to me, and I just do it. The first number that pops in my head, that's it. No questions asked. I have not missed a dime. I think one of the biggest things people do not grasp that it's not about money. It's about investing in ministry and saving souls. This is the surest investment you can make. Pastor, word of encouragement, keep preaching the word. God's word will not return unto him void. And then he signed it. I love you, man. Amen. All right. So, what an encouraging email. People are getting it. Have you gotten it? Do you understand why we put money in the offering plate? Have you figured that out yet? Why are we giving? Why don't we take an offering? And by the way, we don't take an offering. We should be giving an offering. So why do we do that? What's the purpose of it? You say, well, I've been to a lot of churches. All of them do it. Well, they like to turn the lights on, all right? And we like to have the heat on and all of that. So that's in the general budget. But what's the purpose of all of this? Why do we have an offering? What's it all about? When we talk about tithes and offerings. As he said in the email, he's exactly right. It's really not about the money. It's about you and God. It's about being obedient to God. It's about letting God know that you acknowledge Him as owner of everything. And once we learn to do that, God begins to bless. God begins to show up because we're acknowledging that He is God and that He's the owner of all and we are His stewards. We are the managers. God allows us to manage all of this stuff. But He's in control and He owns it all. And so we need to keep preaching the gospel, the whole truth. We need to preach about all kind of things, heaven and hell, money, everything that Jesus did and that Jesus told us to do. So we want to do that. And we want to maintain our budget. Amen. And Bradley said, amen and amen. We want to maintain our budget as well because the budget is what we do investing in what Lindsay Lane's all about. So I hope you understand that. For example, a businessman approached the Pope with an offer. Here's what he said. He said, Mr. Pope, if you'll change the last line of the Lord's Prayer from give us this day our daily bread, if you'll change it to give us this day our daily chicken, KFC will donate $10 million to the Catholic Church. And the Pope refused to do it. He declined. Well, 2 weeks later, this businessman came back and said, listen, if you'll change that last phrase from give us this our daily bread to give us our daily chicken, KFC will give you $10 million. And the Pope once again declined. And 2 weeks later, this is a great businessman, isn't he? He's persistent. He comes back and said, listen, if you'll change that last phrase to give us this day our daily chicken, Kentucky Fried Chicken will donate $50 million to the Catholic Church. And this time, the Pope accepted. And so he called a meeting with all the cardinals. Here's what he told them. I got some good news, and I got some bad news. The good news is we just got $50 million donated from KFC. The bad news is we just lost the Wonder Bread account. Businessmen, aren't we? Well, I'm not a businessman. That's not why God called me to be here, not why He called Bradley, not why He called any of us. He called us here to be good managers, good stewards of what we're investing, what you're investing in Lindsay Lane Baptist Church and the kingdom work that God's placed us here. And so I want to talk to us today about that. We've got to talk about it. We've got to discuss it. Last week we talked about the stewardship of enough. We talked about the poor widow versus the rich fool. We talked about that and how God teaches us to be managers of all that we have. And so everything we have belongs to God. I hope you understand that. Everything you have belongs to God. And God's allowed you to manage that. So what's God up to? Why this tithe and offering? What's all this tithe and offering stuff really about? So in Proverbs, I want to talk to you about the reason, the purpose of why we have stewardship. We're going to talk about the priority of why we have stewardship and then the promise of why we have stewardship. So in Proverbs chapter 3, we find the reason, I believe, for tithes and offerings. And I'm battling a cold in my throat, so y'all going to have to listen good, all right? In Proverbs chapter 3, look in verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Is that what it says? Say amen. Amen. The Bible says that. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Your translation may be a little different. Some say substance. Honor the Lord with your substance, with your possessions, and with the first fruit of all your increase. The first fruit of all your increase. Why? Verse 10 tells us. So your barns will be full, and your vats will be running over. Amen? So you'll prosper. Now, I want you to understand something right off the bat. This is not a prosperity preaching message. It's not. It's a biblical message, I believe, from the Word of God. So I want to talk about the value of stewardship. The value of stewardship. In this text is written, by the way, by the wisest man. The Bible says his name was Solomon, son of David. So he's given us some wisdom here. He's given us a proverb, a principle. And he says, honor the Lord with your possessions. So I want to look at three avenues today of how we can honor God, very simply and very quickly. Number one, the purpose of honoring God. Let's look at it. The purpose of honoring God. What is the purpose? Honor God with your possessions. Honor God with your possessions. Now, that's the main purpose of stewardship. That's why we place the offering. That's why we have an offering, tithes and offerings, so we can honor God with our possessions. Did you know that's why we're giving this morning? I don't know why you thought we were doing, but that's why we're giving. We're honoring God. We've told you this, that giving is a form of worship. We sang songs. We praise the Lord through our worship. We also praise Him in our giving. We honor the Lord. We're honoring Him today with our possessions. It's very important that we understand that. And what does that really mean? Here's what it really means, church. I want you to listen. When we honor God with our possessions, here's what we're saying. This is it in a nutshell. I'm realizing and I'm acknowledging, first of all, that God exists. And then I'm acknowledging and realizing that He's the owner of everything that I have. When I give back to Him, when I place my money in the offering plate, when I write out my tithe, or if I'm giving to an offering somewhere, I'm recognizing that He's God and He owns it all and He's allowed me to manage what He's blessed me with. And I give back to Him in proportion of how He's blessed me. And bottom line is, you can't outgive God. You can't do it. You cannot outgive God. And so He blesses us with His providential care. He cares for us. He takes care of us. The Hebrew word for honor means to reverence, to esteem. To reverence and to esteem. And so when we give today, we're reverencing God. We're esteeming God. And we're lifting Him up. In essence, here's what you're saying. When you give this morning, here's what you're saying. Lord, I love You back. You bless me with all that I own, all that I have. You've blessed me, Lord. And I just want You to know, Father, I love You. I love You back. And I believe in You. I believe in Your Word, what You've taught me, that You'll never leave me, You'll never forsake me, You'll take care of me. I believe that, Lord. When I give my money, when I invest in the church, I believe You're going to take care of me, and I'm acknowledging You as God. I love You. And Father, I trust You. I trust You with all my heart to take care of me and my family. I trust You to do that. And here's my love offering. Here's my stewardship. Heavenly Father, I honor You. That's what you're doing when you give your tithes and offering. Lord, I love You back. I trust You. I trust Your Word. And Heavenly Father, I honor You. I honor You today. I honor You with my singing. I honor You in coming today, acknowledging You're God. You didn't have to come today, but You did. You came because You honor God. And then we give because we flat out reverence Him. We esteem Him. We exalt Him. We honor Him. By the way, did y'all know He's the guest of honor? Did y'all know He's the guest of honor today? That's why we're here, to honor God. And we miss that a lot of times. We get so distracted on other stuff, and we talk about this and talk about that. Now turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now let me give you some history. I'm not a history buff, but I like the Old Testament. It's got a lot of history. You know the Bible's a book of history? Especially the Old Testament. So 1 Samuel, if you'll turn there. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. All right? 1 Samuel chapter 2, look in verse 29. 1 Samuel chapter 2, in verse number 29. Look what the Bible says. Now, this is the Lord God. He's speaking to to Eli. Eli had sons who had gone in corruption. They had backslidden. They went wayward. And so God's speaking to Eli, who was the priest of Israel. So look in verse 29. He says, "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, in the church? I've commanded that. And why do you honor your sons more than me?" Why do you reverence your sons? Why do you esteem your children more than you have me? God's asking him that. "To make yourself fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people." Look in verse 30. "Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me." Now, I want you to listen to this phrase. "Far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor." Could it be the opposite? Those who don't honor me, I won't honor. Amen? That's what it says. Those who honor me, those who reverence me, those who acknowledge me, those who trust me, esteem me, exalt me, I'll honor you back. But if you don't honor me, if you put other things before me, even your children, I can't honor you. I can't bless you back because you're not blessing me. You're not honoring me, he says. This is the priest. This is Eli. God's dead serious about his word. He really is. And as the email said, it'll never return void if we honor God's word and we listen to God's word. Listen to this thought. We should honor God with our body, soul, and spirit. God made us, he created us, so we should honor him with our body, soul, and spirit, and also our estate, our substance, our possessions. They all belong to him. Listen to what Peter Marshall said. Peter Marshall said this, "Give according to your income, lest God make your income according to your giving." Give according to your income, unless God make your income according to your giving. And by the way, he can do that. See, when our riches increase, we are tempted, as Eli was, to put the focus on us. He was focused on his children. They evidently didn't put too much emphasis on them. They went wayward. But God says, you honor them more than you do me. And so, God wants to honor us. My Sunday school class honored my wife and I a couple of weeks ago for Pastor's Appreciation Month of October. They called us in. My wife came out of her Sunday school class, and we went and stood before our class, and they gave us a real, real nice gift. What were they doing? They were honoring their pastor and his wife. They really were. They honored us. Not because of the gift per se, but the attitude and the motive behind the gift. And see, that says more than the gift even. Hello? You think God's concerned about what you put in that bucket? Mm-mm. He's concerned why and why not. That's right. It's about you. You can't tip him off. You can tick him off, but you just can't tip him off. He's concerned about you. He loves you. This is his man. Eli's the priest, and he's called him on the carpet. You've honored your children more than you've honored me, and I can't honor you because you didn't honor me. And see, it's all about the purpose behind stewardship. It really is. It's about honoring God. And they honored us and my wife. And here, let me ask you this. If they took the time to honor Patsy and I the way they did, wouldn't it make sense that Patsy and I in turn would honor God? Because he's blessed us so much. Wouldn't it make sense that we've been blessed as we have, that we would in turn honor the one in whom all blessings flow? It makes sense. We've been honored. Why wouldn't we honor God? Because God honored us through them. And I know it. God's the one that honors us. That's the purpose. It really is. And notice what Samuel said in verse number 2. Those who honor me, I will honor you. Did I tell y'all last week that Patch and I were on food stamps for a month? Y'all remember that? I did. And we began to tithe. And we didn't have it. I heard all the time, I don't have it. Well, you got something. That's all he asked for. Tithe of what you do have. Put him first. And so we began to do that. And here's what happened. We got a check in the mail from Monsanto for $75. Had a chemical spill. We just went to the mailbox. There was a check in there for $75. We knew that was God honoring us. And I'm telling you, we've been tithing ever since. Before I became a preacher, before she became a preacher's wife, we got it round dialing and immediately began to start tithing, giving back to God. Why? Because everything we own belongs to Him. And God begins to bless us. And He blessed us. Let me just share it with you. Can I be honest? Can I be transparent? My wife and I went to the ball game yesterday at Tuscaloosa at Bryant-Denny. Yes, she went with me. Amen. God bless her. She went with me. She loves me. And we took our granddaughter, Claire, and her boyfriend. We had 4 tickets. Now you say, why would you go down to the Chattanooga game? Because somebody gave me 4 tickets. And they said, here's 4 tickets. Here's a parking pass, and here's 4 meal tickets, and you can go in and eat a big meal there in the stadium. They got it reserved for you. I'm going to park you over here, and I'm going to give you 4 tickets. Did I tell y'all that God honors those that honor Him? You say, well, are you bragging? I'm bragging on Jesus. I'm telling you, I've learned to bless Him, and He blesses me back. Now, I'm expecting somebody to bless Patsy now. I'll go with her next week. Amen. That just came out. I'm expecting a blessing, amen. I could tell you so many stories how God has blessed Patsy and I and our family since we began to get under His leadership and get under His word and honor Him. That's where my blessings come from. I'm telling you, you can't outgive Him. And when God gives it to me, I've learned to give it back. Bless Him back. Number 2, that's the promise, our purpose of honoring God. I'm going to talk about the priority of honoring God. It really is. Now, look what he says in verse 9, Proverbs chapter 3, back to the ranch. He says, honor God with your possessions, with the first fruits of your increase. Now, what does he mean by that? What's he trying to teach us here? How do you honor God with your possessions, with the first fruit of your increase? What if he said, give it all back to me? He didn't say that. He said, honor me and your possessions with the first fruits of your increase. Now, we need to talk about that. See, Solomon's getting very specific now. He's getting down to the nitty-gritty. He's getting specific how we to honor God. How do we do that? By setting priorities and getting our priority right. The priority of honoring God is to honor His word. The Israelites were given specific priorities. God commanded them to give back the first fruit of all of their increase. So let's look at this just for a moment. I want to show it to you. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 13. Genesis, first book, and then Exodus chapter 13. Now, let me set this up. I won't take time to have you turn there, but in Leviticus chapter 23, this is the law. The book of the law is Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 23, they had the feast of the first fruit. They even had a feast. They had a lot of different feasts, but they had a feast of the first fruit. Now, what was that all about? Well, it was the week after the Sabbath. The day after the Sabbath of the Passover, it was called the Feast of the First Fruit. And what Israel was commanded to do was bring their first fruit of their livestock and the first fruit of their grain or harvest. And they were to give that as a as a wave offering, they would bring it and give it to God. Now, why would God ask them to give the first fruit of their livestock and the first fruit of their grain? Why would God command Israel to give the first fruit of their increase? Here's why. So they would acknowledge Him as their God. And they would learn to depend on God. And see, they're saying, God, you own it all. You own all of our cows and goats and sheep. You own all of our barley and wheat and all of those things. You own all of that. So you said tithe of the first increase. Give of the first increase. Because you own it all. Now, I want to show it to you in Exodus chapter 13. Look in verses 1 and 2. Now, here's the first of all, the livestock. Then the Lord said to Moses. He's speaking through His man Moses. Verse 2. Consecrate. That means set apart to me all the firstborn. Whether whatever opens the womb, the firstborn among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast. Now, what's the next three words? It is mine. Do you see that? You honor me with the first increase of the womb, whether it's your child, whether it's the livestock or your goats or sheep, whatever it is. Honor me with that. In other words, consecrate it. Set it apart for me. And what they do is set aside their child, set aside their goat, whatever it was, and offer it as a sacrifice to God. Like we do baby dedication, so to speak, for the child. And they say, God, my child belongs to you. All of my children belong to you. All of my grain, all of my cows, all of my sheep belong to you. So, Lord, they physically offered up the sacrifice of the goat or the sheep to the Lord, recognizing that it all belonged to Him. And by the way, He said, don't bring me no lame stuff either. Don't bring no blemished stuff. I want the best, the first fruit of your increase. Now, turn with me to Exodus chapter 22. Turn over to the right, go to chapter 22. I want to show you this because you need to understand what we're talking about today. Look at Exodus chapter 22 and look in verse 29. Exodus 22, verse 29. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and juices. You shall not delay to offer up the first, look at that, the first of the ripe produce and the grapes, if you will. And so He says, offer up the first. And when you do that, you get to keep the other. All the field, all the livestock is yours. Just acknowledge that I gave it to you. It belongs to me. It is mine, He said. It's all mine. But when you do that, you're obeying the word that I've given you, so you'll recognize that I am your God. I will take care of you, and you learn to depend on me. And I'll take care of you. I'll honor you when you honor me. God said that in His word. And so that's the first fruit of the increase. And what they would do, they would bring the barley. You ever heard that song, Bringing in the Sheaves? You heard that? What they would do, they would bundle the first fruit up. They'd get a bundle of sheaves, of grain, of wheat, and they'd bundle it up, and they would bring the sheave into the temple and wave it before the Lord. And that's where that song comes from, Bringing in the Sheaves. It's the first fruit of their grain offering. And they give it to God. They give it to the priest. They're tithing it to the church. Malachi, bring all your tithes where? Into the storehouse. And so the first fruits they brought to the priest. And the priest would offer up a sacrifice. And that's how they fed or took care of the priest, even in those days. And so when you understand all of this, you understand when you get the New Testament, what He talks about giving comes a way of life. He did away with all those animal sacrifices and all that to just be obligatory, obligated. You do it now in the New Testament out of a joyful heart because you love Him and you still want to honor Him. And so the first fruit is honoring that He is God. The first fruits were an offering, were a prelude, by the way. I don't have time to go into this, but y'all know what the Old Testament is an introduction to the New Testament. It's the history. And see what God was doing. He taught them to give their first fruit of their grain and of their animals. So when Jesus came, He was the first fruit for their life. Who was the first fruit of the dead? Jesus. He's our first fruit. He's our Savior, our Redeemer. And all of this pointed to Him. those offerings that you brought in, they pointing to Jesus, because he's going to fulfill this Old Testament. He became the first fruit, and because he died and resurrected, you're going to die and be resurrected to heaven if your faith is in Christ. That's the first fruit of the grave. And God's fulfilling. He's got a plan. God knows what he's doing. That's why you live by faith. That's why you got to flat out trust him. Trust him. Put him first. Priority. It's so imperative you do that. Our dependence, listen to this truth. Our dependence upon God lessens as our dependence upon things increase. Here's a fallacy. We've got to be careful. The more God blesses you, we have a tendency to give him back less, because now we're not as dependent upon him. When Patsy and I were on food stamps, man, we depended on God. We prayed, God provided. And then we started prospering. And it'd be easy to say, well, we don't really need to go to church now, really. God's all, well, we're blessed now. No, it still comes from him. We just get to give more back, because he gives more. He increases when you're obedient to him. That's why God taught the Israelites to depend upon him. Now turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want to show you something. You're in Exodus. Go by Leviticus. That's the law. Go by Numbers. And now you're in Deuteronomy, and go to chapter 8. You know, we got this misconception that God is a loving God. And God's going to provide. I mean, you know, we don't ever call on him until we're in a ditch. You'd be amazed at all the benevolence that come by when they're in the ditch. I wonder, have you ever honored God? Did you give? I'm going to start asking, do you give back to God? Well, no. Then why do you expect him to give to you? Well, you're a church. He's a loving God. He sure is. But he's also a God of his word. Amen? Why should he bless you when we don't bless him? Why should he honor you if we don't honor him? That's a principle from God's word. You can take it and do what you want to with that, but that's a principle. God says do that. Now look in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Listen to this. Here's Israel again, God's chosen people. Moses wrote chapter 8 of Deuteronomy to tell them, don't forget God. Whatever we do, don't forget him. He took us across the Red Sea. He took us out of Egypt. He fed us manna, quail. Remember that, guys? Don't forget him. Don't forget him. And then look in verse number 11 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I commanded you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is increased or multiplied, when your heart is puffed up, is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do good in the end. Now look in verse 17. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth. My intelligence, my ability to sell, to do what? That's how I got this wealth. No, he said. Look in verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Amen? Where does our wealth come from? God. It's he that gave you that intellect. It's he that gave you that ability, or whatever you're doing, to make money. It all comes from God. That's why you got to honor him. That's why you give back, so he can bless you. It all comes from him. We dishonor him when we give him our leftovers and we have low priority toward God. I'll never forget my pastor, Bill Bailey. He used to say there's three kind of givers. There's the tipper. It's just tip God, you know, pull out a dollar and tip him. And then there's the trasher who gave whatever's left in their pocket. And then there's the tither. The tipper, the trasher, and the tither. He used to say that all the time. And I realized what he was saying. It's about our attitude. We must learn to honor God with our first fruit. You ever wonder why God blesses some folks? I've seen this in this church. I've seen people's lives, how God's blessed them because they honor God. They honor God, and God seems to bless them. It's a great principle in God's Word, by the way. They've learned to tithe. They've learned to give the first fruits to Him, and God blesses the 90%. He blesses the rest of it and multiplies it so they can give more. And so they can give more. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. There's three basic reasons why people give. Listen to this. Very simple. Number one, we give out of guilt. We ought to give. We ought to give. Well, Pastor Dusty's been preaching on tithe. I guess I ought to give. And so we give out of guilt. We feel guilty because we haven't been giving. And now we feel guilty and we think we ought to give. And number two, we give out of grudge. We get out of obligation because we have to. That's how the Pharisees gave. In Luke chapter 11, verse 42, he said, man, you tithe the mint, you tithe the rue, you're tithing all your vegetables and stuff, and that you should do. But you've missed the weightier things. You've missed the attitude of giving. You're giving out of obligation to the law, and you're not giving out of a joyful, cheerful, willing heart. So there's the one that gives out of guilt, there's the one that gives out of grudge, and thirdly, there's the one that gives out of grace. They've just been blessed of God. They know that God loves them. They love the Lord, and they give because they get to. One gives because they ought to. One gives because they have to. And another gives because they get to. And if you can ever get from the ought to, have to the get to, woo! He'll bless you. It's awesome. I'm telling you, it's awesome. And see, we thought we had to. No, you get to. Because God can get it any way He wants. Amen. He can get it any way He wants. So you might as well give it willingly, have a joyful heart. Amen. Just a thought. Here's a principle. Listen to this. Those that do good with what they have shall have more to do more good with. Those who do good with what they have will have more to do more good with. It's about a priority. It's about a priority. Here's a principle. Listen to this. How we prioritize and manage our possession reflects a great deal of how much we really honor God. It's a reflection. How we give, not just in our church here, but how we give of ourselves is a reflection of how much we acknowledge and honor God. Our tithes and offerings aren't payment for God's blessing. We don't pay God so He'll bless us, but rather it's evidence of our faith and obedience. It's evidence of that. Well, Pastor, listen to this. You ever heard this? Pastor Dusty, we just can't afford to give right now. But I'm going to tell you what. When we start getting this money and we get this job, we get this, we're going to start giving. We're going to start giving. We just can't afford to give it right now. But when we can afford to give it, we're going to give it. Listen to this. The groom, bent with age, leaned over his cane. His steps uncertainly needed guidance. While down the church aisle with a warm, toothless smile, the bride in a wheelchair came riding. Who is this elderly couple thus wed? We've learned when we quickly explored it that this is the rare, most conservative pair who waited till they could afford it. They waited till they could afford to get married, and now they're old and toothless. Let me give you the last one and I'll close. Not only have we seen the purpose of honoring God and we've seen the priority of honoring God, but thirdly, we need to look at the promise of honoring God. There is a promise attached. It really is. Now look in verse 10 of our text, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Now remember what he said? Honor God with your possessions. Give the first the first fruit of your increase. And then verse 10 is the promise that your, look what it says, that your barns may be full and your vats overflowing. You know, what is he saying? That you'll have increase. Now listen very carefully. Hear this statement before we go any further. I'm not preaching today a prosperity gospel. I'm preaching a priority gospel. Well, if I just, you see, some preachers will tell you, well, if you only sow that seed, you give $500, you'll get $2,000 back. Well, they got their $500, amen. And see, they this prosperity gospel, that's not what I'm saying. But what God is saying is this: if you get me top priority, if you make me the first fruit of your increase, I will bless you. I will bless you. And that's a promise from God. Your barns will be full, your vats will be running over. That doesn't mean you'll have money on a tree in the backyard. That's not what I'm talking about. How much value do you put on a healthy child? How much value do you put on a godly marriage? You think those things are cheap? Mm-mm. They're blessings. Because you honored him, and he'll honor you. And I want to tell you this flat out. You don't honor him, how do you expect him to honor you? How do you expect him to honor you when you do not honor him? You don't recognize him, you're not faithful to him, and God just cannot honor you. The main emphasis, listen to this, the main emphasis on biblical stewardship is on giving versus receiving. Now, we all know that it's better to what? It's better to give than to receive. But I want to show you something in Scripture. God also blesses receiving. Amen? It's good to give because God blesses giving, but he also blesses receiving. Now, God wants us to give, yes, but he wants us to receive. Now, Malachi 3:10. Turn there with me. It's the last Old Testament book right before Matthew. So go to the end of the Old Testament or go to Matthew and turn back and you'll find Malachi 3:10. And I'll close with this because I want you to test God. Say, all right, God, Pastor Dusty preached that message. I'm not sure if I believe all of that. Well, let me just ask you this. Why don't you test it? Just test it and see. Just test it. Here's what the Bible says in Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That's the church. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, he didn't say that, bring all the offerings. Maybe you want to give to United Way, or maybe you want to give to hospice. Have at it. But you bring the tithes into the storehouse, because that's what God said to do with it. Bring your tenth, your tithe, to the storehouse. Why? That there may be food in my house, so we can help minister to others, teach others, bless others. And notice what he said in verse 10. Try me now on this. It's the only place in the gospel or in the book of the Bible where he says, test me on this. He says, test me in your giving. Try it. And then verse, look at the rest of it. And says the Lord, and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room in your vat or in your barn to hold it if you'll test me on it. I can have people march up here right now and give you testimony of that very fact. They've tried God on that. Some of them were new Christians. They said, all right, we'll start giving. We taught them about it. And they did, and God's just blessing their socks off. And it's not only financially. It's a lot of other ways God blesses. I've already mentioned those. And so I close. What does he say do? Honor me, and I will honor you. Honor me, and I will honor you. Lindsay Lane's a blessed church. I'm going to tell you flat out. I've seen a lot of other churches. I talk to a lot of pastors, get around the circle. I just want to tell you, we're a blessed church. Now you say, well, we're blessed. We've got all this stuff. No. The reason we got all this stuff is because we've honored God. How did we grow this big? I don't know. All I know is we've been honoring God for 25 years. And look what he's done. So I tell these churches when I go speak, you honor God, God will honor you. It's not only for us individuals, it's also for churches. A church that honors God, God honors the church. Amen? And so that's the lesson for today. Now here's my question. I'm through with stewardship, so you can come back next week, all right? Somebody say, I ain't coming back next week, man. I'm getting tired of this. Well, that's just two. Two's about all I can go now. I started out doing the whole month. I can't do a whole month. I can't even take the whole month. I don't like preaching these kind of messages. Read, I'm telling you. But I've called to tell you the truth. And the truth will set you free. Whether it's in giving, whether it's in marriage, whether it's in raising children. The truth will set you free if you only obey it and listen to it. So I'm just here to teach you. These messages, I try to develop messages not to browbeat you, to make you feel uncomfortable, not to put a guilt trip on you. I don't want to do that. I just want to tell you the truth. I've learned it. I've experienced this. What I'm telling you today, I've experienced. And when Patsy and I started honoring God in our marriage, He blessed our marriage. When we started honoring Him with our children, we're going to church. We're getting our life right, and you're going with us. I'm not following you, Haley, Joe Dare. You're following me. I'm the parent. And God's blessed us. And that's as plain vanilla as I can get it. And I'm going to tell you, when you learn to honor God, God will honor you. Father, I love you. I just want to thank you, Father, for blessing us the way you have. I can't even imagine not giving back to you. You've shown me personally the principle of giving. You've shown me here not only in my own life, my own family, but in this church family. Lindsay Lane's been obedient to you, Lord. As plain as we can, we tried to live and teach the Word of God, and you've honored it. We've seen so many baptisms. We've seen people's lives changed. And it's all because we're honoring you, Lord. We're esteeming you. We're exalting you in our music, in our teaching, in our preaching. We're honoring God. You're our Father. We're dependent on you. We can't make it without you. How many times have you heard me tell you that, Lord? We won't ever make it without you. And you always keep honoring us. I pray we'll always be faithful to honor our God, and our Lord. And now I pray for these wonderful people. I love these people, Lord. They're my friends. They're the members of this church. They're visitors. And I love them. And I love them enough to tell them the truth so they can experience honoring God and allowing you to honor them back. Some need to honor you today with their marriage. Maybe they've gotten away from the biblical truth of marriage. Some need to honor you today with their children. They've gotten it all out of priority, all out of kilter. Some of our children need to honor you by their parents. We need to honor you as a nation. We've gotten away from you as a nation. You can't bless America. We sing it, we pray it, but how can you bless us if America is unfaithful and not honoring God? That's why we got to get back to honoring God. And in my life and the life of these wonderful people, I pray today as you spoke into our heart, some need to come and get saved. They don't even worry about giving anything but themselves to you. And I pray they would come and be saved. Some need to get their baptism in order, be obedient to the Word, as many have. Some need to come and just bring their marriage, bring their children, bring their lives, bring them to you, honor you, and let you honor us. Father, we love you today. We praise you, and we do honor you. We're thankful in this season of Thanksgiving. We're grateful for all that we have. And we love you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me? I don't know how God's speaking to you today, but I know He knows how He's speaking to you. You know what I found out? You know how He's speaking to you. So you don't have to, I'm just going to give an invitation. Whatever God's spoken to you, whatever you need to do today, you come and do it. This is an invitation for you to come and do it with God. Let's sing. You come.
To Jesus I surrender.